Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. I'm quite excited tonight because I've had a bright new idea for a whole series of programmes interviewing representatives of the various branches of the Christian Church. There is only one Church of Jesus Christ, worldwide down the centuries, but the family tree has lots of different branches. The ice cream comes in many flavours. The garden has many varieties of flowers. Anyway, you understand the point. And how much do we really know about each other? What do Baptists and Pentecostals and Presbyterians and Salvation Army and Roman Catholic and Episcopal people, what do they believe? What do they do? How do they worship? How do they see things? So the idea of this series is to highlight each of the different branches or to bring out their various flavours of the ice cream. Not to knock them, but to know more about them. So tonight, to get the ball rolling, we have the first in the series, and I'm delighted to welcome to the studio the Reverend Dr. John King, the Pentecostal pastor of Calvary Way Pentecostal Church. So welcome, John, and thank you very much for coming tonight.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
So just by way of setting the scene, where is it that you meet to worship?
Yes, we meet on Sunday mornings at the Whitley's Community Centre in Ardrossan.
Why are you called Calvary Way? Why did you pick that name?
Well, basically when we started, of course, we had no building of our own, and so we knew and realised right from the outset we'd be a church on the move. So that would be one reason. The other is, of course, that the original Christian church in the book of Acts was called the Way, or the people of the Way. And so rather than using the word church or Christian fellowship, we went for Way. Calvary, of course, being the hill on which Jesus was crucified.
Yes. And other than on a Sunday, what else do you do through the week?
During the week, we have various small groups. The church is at the moment consists of four small groups who meet in different homes, different evenings of the week, for Bible study, for fellowship, for prayer, for encouragement and mutual growth.
How long have you been the pastor in Calvary Way then?
Right from the inception. It's just over, well, we're into our, just started our seventh year as Calvary Way.
Are there many Pentecostals around?
Not all that very many in Scotland. At the moment, our group actually is in fellowship with what is called the Assemblies of God in Scotland. And at the present time, there are 50 Assemblies of God assemblies scattered throughout Scotland. So relatively small groupings, none of them much more than 50 or 100 people maximum in the congregation.
But there are quite a few Pentecostals throughout the world.
Throughout the world, yes. The Pentecostal church is supposedly the fastest growing church amongst all the churches, particularly in South America and Korea and Asia, Africa as well.
And if you think about it, there's Pentecostals in every branch of the church, as well as being a branch itself.
Absolutely correct, yes, yeah. Yes. It's interesting that Pentecostalism as we know it today really started just over 100 years ago, around about 1904, just with a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what, as so often happens when something new happens, the traditionalists don't like what's happening, and in a sense, those that are experiencing the new experience are somewhat ostracized. They then sort of tend to go away and perhaps form a separate group. It's not by desire, but more just of necessity, very frequently find themselves separated from the original group.
Yes. So anyway, we'll hear more about this, but I've asked John, and I'm asking all my guests in the series, to choose the music for each programme, to give us a flavour of their church's ways of worshipping and their style of worship. So John, what's the first piece of music you've chosen?
The first piece is There Is Power in the Name of Jesus.
And it's by Noel Richards, and this is a favourite Pentecostal hymn, is it?
It's a very popular one in Pentecostal circles, yes.
A wee bit about yourself. Where did you begin life and how did you get to here?
Yeah, well, I began life 66 years ago, going on 67, in South Africa, born to South African parents, but of both Scottish and English and German descent. My great-great-grandparents and grandmother actually left Scotland in the late 1800s, where I was born in a town near Johannesburg. And at the age of almost 18, I first became a Christian, put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And at a very early stage, I felt a call to ministry. My parents were very opposed to my going into a formal church ministry, and I therefore went and studied medicine with a view to becoming a medical missionary in the first instance. Since then, of course, things have moved on, and at a time when the call became irresistible to really become a pastor, I took the necessary steps towards becoming that. How I came to be in Scotland again, this is a call of God. I believe in my 50th year of age, what the scriptures would refer to as the Jubilee year, and a land where normally the people of Israel would have returned to the land of their forefathers to repossess the family inheritance, I sensed this call to visit the land of my forefathers, and the whole thing has grown since then. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, with resulting in us arriving in Scotland.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You've a double career, doctor and minister. Yeah. I was also going to ask you, why are you a Pentecostal?
I have to say, the first number of years of my Christian walk were a very great struggle. I suppose didn't have the full knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, and for a number of years, particularly as a medical student and then later as a young doctor, drifted quite far away, didn't serve God as I should have and as I had originally intended to. And there was a time in my life when we hit a bit of a crisis and realized that there was something, and the big thing that was missing in my life was my relationship with Jesus. Therefore returned very strongly to the church and felt the necessity, first of all, to be baptized as a believer, and then through that started finding out more about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit.
But in your spiritual journey, you could have joined any one of a number of branches of the Christian church. So how come it's the Pentecostal branch you're
on? Yeah, okay. What happened was that I was in the Methodist Church at the time when I first came to know the Lord, and at the time of my returning to really serve God in a serious way, with the real sense that I needed to be baptized as a believer. This was sort of very contrary to the policy and the beliefs of the Methodist Church, and we were actually asked to leave the church. And the Pentecostal church down the road was really going very well indeed. It had become very, very popular, had a very good pastor, and he was quite happy to baptize me at my own request. And so this is really basically how I landed up in that.
Yeah. Well, let's try your second piece of music then. What have you got for us this time?
The next piece is a song sung by Don Moen, and I think at least partly written by him as well, called Thank You, Lord. And the reason why I've chosen this is that it's a song that we would quite often sing earlier on in the service. We're exhorted in Psalm 100 to enter the gates and the courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so Thank You, Lord is, to my mind, a very good way to start off.
Says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen.
I come before you today, and there's just one thing that I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, given to me. For all the blessings that I cannot see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With a grateful heart, with a song of praise, with an outstretched arm, I will bless your name. And gave me your light. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You took my sin and my shame. You took my sickness and healed all my pain. I will bless your name.
So John, if a visitor came to the Pentecostal church one Sunday and they just walked in off the street, what do you think they would notice first, or what would be different from any other Christian church service?
Yeah, well, first of all, the building would tend to be a little different. Not quite the same, although that varies, of course, from town to town. I suppose the one thing that would strike would be that there would be some sort of a band with various instruments up on the platform, either playing or ready to play. The music, I think, would be lively and vibrant, and the worship of the people would be very vibrant, perhaps hand clapping, raised hands in worship to the Lord.
Just out of interest, why do you raise your hands when you're doing
well,
that?
Well, it's instructed in a number of the Psalms. For instance, one of the Hebrew words for praise and adoration is the raising of hands. And so that's the reason why hands are raised.
And if you raise your hands in prayer, what does that mean?
Well, that depending, I suppose, if the hands are outstretched or sort of open, in if they're raised in prayer, it would be sort of giving the attitude of receiving, of accepting, receiving the answer to the prayer.
A bit of open arms to catch God's gifts as they come down.
In a sense.
Or reaching out like the leaves of a rosebud opening up to the sun.
Yeah,
sort of
something
picture.
Like that, yes.
Right. Sorry, I interrupted you there. What else would you notice in your worship besides the music?
Yeah, you'd notice that we don't have a written order of service. We tend to have an order in mind, but it's certainly not given to the congregation, and we tend to try and be led by the Holy Spirit as we proceed through the service.
So think, although you're the pastor, you don't know what's going to happen next.
Not always, no. And very often the flow of the Holy Spirit as he moves would be from one person to another even. It would perhaps be a song like the one we've just listened to, Thank You, Lord. Somebody might then break out in a spontaneous prayer of thanksgiving for one or other aspect of their lives.
What's the main focus of the worship? Is it the sermon or is it the singing? Or
the main focus is the Lord Jesus, to draw our attention to him, to who he is, and to focus our attention on the Lord Jesus.
I've sometimes seen people jump out of their seats and go down the aisle a bit and move about. You're quite happy with all that?
Yes, quite comfortable with that. Another one of the psalms, or more than one of the psalms, actually instruct the people to dance before the Lord, and they might even be some people doing a little jig or some form of dancing before the Lord. Sometimes there would be those who would pick up a flag and start waving it. It's in exuberance, it's in vibrancy, and just in worship and thanksgiving, worshiping God not only with our mouths and voices, but with every part of our being.
Right, well, let's try the third piece of music. It's entitled Arise. How do you pronounce this singer? Paul Balocci?
Balocci.
Ask of you one thing that we desire, that as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. Arise, 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 take your place. That as we worship you, Lord, come and change our lives. Arise, 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 take your place.
So your services are quite upbeat, modern music,
yes.
Clapping, jumping up and down, singing loud. What about the other aspects of life? You know, if you're coming into church and you've had a bereavement that week, or you're feeling a bit down with life or depressed, sometimes I've heard critics of the Pentecostal church say there isn't so much space for not being so blooming happy, you know.
Yes. I could understand that. The song that we've just sung, and in fact the next one will actually lead into that as well. We believe that worship of God needs to be a lifestyle. It affects our whole life. And that last song, there was a request that our lives could be changed as we worship God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 actually speaks about we Christians being able to brightly reflect the glory of God. And the more we worship, and as the Holy Spirit works in us and through us, we become and we're changed to be more and more like Him. When you speak about bereavement and so on, the next song that we're going to be looking at is really based on a lot of what is written in the book of Job, who suffered much. And my own personal testimony of that is it was 4 days after I'd got the news that my second son had been killed in a motor accident in South Africa, and my elders kindly volunteered to take the service and do all the necessary. However, right at the outset, I felt it necessary to stand up and just to say to the people, look, despite my bereavement, we're here to focus on the Lord Jesus. But this the next song we sing is going to be one that we sang on that particular morning. And it does speak of, you know, no matter how bad circumstances, both in the good times and in the bad times, yet I will praise you.
So let's hear Blessed Be Your Name by Robin Mark. So John, what would you say is the core or the essence of a Pentecostal? I know as a denomination you're many and varied,
yes.
But at heart, what's the essence of Pentecostalism, would you say?
Right at the core, I would say, is Acts 1 and verse 8, where Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, promised his followers that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they would then be his witnesses even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so from that point of view, we feel it a very strong urgency to take this good news about Jesus, about salvation or getting into right standing with God through faith in Jesus Christ, to take that message to the world and let them know about it, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
And you're meaning every Pentecostal, not just the pastor?
Yes, oh, absolutely. And this is one of the major reasons why I believe Pentecostalism has grown so rapidly throughout, particularly the developing world in these times, is because people, every person in the church is encouraged to share their faith with others, with whoever they come into contact.
Well, John, I'm afraid time's run out. We were enjoying ourselves so much. Time flies.
Yes, it's been very good indeed.
So thank you very much for coming into the studio and giving us a better understanding and awareness of Pentecostal life and worship and outlook. I'd just like to say bye for now and see you again next week, and we'll leave you going out with a very rousing Pentecostal song, Hallelujah, What a Saviour.
For the Son of God. Together.
Guilty.